It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target, work the hardest. With passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
What's up, everybody? How you guys doing? It's Marshall Couture, also known as Plex in hip-hop circles. And you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. How's everything going, guys? I'm doing all right. Hanging out on a Saturday, running some errands. Got a lot of stuff going on. Just got myself an oil change. I don't know why I did it in a southern accent. And doing some sketching in the sketchbook. Today I did my YouTube video for the 100 days, and I kind of did like a sneak peek of my new character for the comic. And so that was kind of cool. I actually revealed him. I was debating whether I should, but I did, because I can't help myself. And just talking about goals and stuff. And then, So I'm excited about that. He's a cool character. His name is Robo Hobo. And he's different. He's like a mech character, but he's like put together with all kinds of like junkyard parts type of thing. And he's from, you know, a different world or whatever, where it's all about, I won't get too much into it, but it's all about, like, mecha stuff, and there's a whole story to it. But he's gonna be debuting in the third installment of the Glyph mini-comic, and, you know, his design will change through the years and whatnot, and he'll be in the Glyph comic until I get the chance to really develop him to the point I like, and, you know, really put down the story in his own book. So I figured Glyph is a great place to try him out and keep working on the design, and, you know, at least get an initial design, and I might get some outside help to help me make him look cooler. And I don't know, maybe a little more structurally sound, but he doesn't have to look super structural, because he's like made up of messed up parts, and he's gonna be like super glitchy, and things are always gonna be getting messed up in his system, and things aren't gonna work sometimes, and, you know, and his brain is all screwed up and all that stuff. So he's gonna definitely have the persona of kind of like a homeless person, except for he's a robot. He's cast out from society because of certain things that have happened, and he's even he's gonna have kind of a story where he doesn't know where he's from and who he is, and he's lost. He doesn't know even that he's on the wrong planet or anything. And then the main story, you know, he'll probably have already found his main planet, because he has other things to learn about and try to figure out. But I don't know, maybe not. Maybe the whole main story will lift off from the Glyph universe, or maybe another planet, depending on where he ends up finding himself. So it's kind of fun to have like a story already in my mind, but, you know, there's many ways that it could lead up to that, so I'm not like stuck in anything, you know, and I can be very flexible with it. So yeah, and that's kind of what the mini comic is for. The Glyph mini comic is an experimental comic that will turn into a little bit more of a serious, I shouldn't say serious, but just like a more well-developed comic when it, you know, gets to the traditional format of comics and, you know, who knows, maybe I'll always have little mini comics in the background. And I even think that I might have like a Glyph strip comic, like the newspaper stuff, just funny stuff to add to the world and just have another audience of webcomic people to, you know, kind of draw them into the bigger comic story, or, you know, draw people from the bigger comic story over to the strip comic, you know. This sounds like a lot of work, but I'd release these things like in seasons, and, you know, maybe have somebody else collaborate with me on, you know, the strip or something, who knows. But yeah, so that's kind of what's going on, and it goes along pretty well with what the topic's going to be. A lot of interesting stuff. I guess just a few more updates. I think I've already told you guys, I have the BingCon coming up, which is in 2 weeks from now. So next weekend is like the 15th and 16th, I think, of August. And then the weekend after that, which is like the 20-something of August or something. I need to get my dates straight. But yeah, so BingCon is then. But next weekend, my buddy Will's coming over, and we're going to go to the Connecticut Comic-Con, which I don't know what the official name of it is, because there's like a couple Connecticut Comic-Cons and they have different names, but they're very similar. So I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, we'll be going there. I was able to get a press pass for the convention, so I'll be, you know, reporting back through the podcast on that. And I'm excited about that. You know, I'm going to go. It's a con that I've always wanted to table at, but it's a little expensive, and it's a hike, and now it's a 3-day con, and I just don't have the time, really, and money to do that, I guess. And so, you know, it is what it is. But hopefully eventually I'll be able to, because a lot of my friends are doing the con and stuff. But I like to at least get there and spend some time talking to creators and stuff, and connect with those people who, and support those people who are basically my peers in my local area. So, you know, I don't want to miss out on that. So I was able to get a press pass, and I'm excited to go do that. And then, as usual, I'll hopefully have some cash to add a little bit to my Kirby collection and indie comics collection. Get more comics that I don't need. But, you know, I like to support and I like to get inspired. So, yeah, those conventions are coming up. Very excited. And I guess I'll leave you there for now, for the moment, and then I'll come back and we can get into the main juicy topic. All right, 1 minute, second. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, I guess a couple other little update, or one other little update thing is, I've been trying to get a few people on to do interviews and stuff, and that's why, you know, I'm doing this on Saturday here, because, you know, I was trying all week to get an interview with some people, and it just didn't happen to work out. And unfortunately, I only have little windows sometimes, and I kind of am like, you know, I'll text somebody or message them and just be like, hey, do you happen to have time now? Because I'm able to have time, you know, like I don't have a lot of notice, because I never know for sure when I'm going to have a chance. And then sometimes I think I'm going to have a chance, and then, oh, last minute I have to stop because I got a family thing I got to take care of or whatever. So that's kind of why I haven't done a lot of interviews, you know, because it's like almost impossible for me to schedule anything the way my situation is, unfortunately. But you know, I won't get into that too much, but so if you are waiting to do a podcast with me, you know, please have patience, because it's hard for me to schedule things. Anyways, so let's get into topics. So I was doing my video today, and yesterday, actually, too. And, you know, I always try to, when I do these 100 days, you know, when I first started, I just kind of said, okay, this is my progress, blah, blah, blah. Maybe had a little bit of a topic, but I was just like, here's my progress. And some days it was just like, I didn't really have time to make a video. So I'm like, I wouldn't say much more than that. So they were kind of silly for me to just keep doing them every day and be like, okay, today I did one more page and a half, or I worked on this panel. Like, I pretty much do the same thing every day. So it's not really a big, it's kind of silly to waste somebody's time with a little stupid video saying the same thing I said the day before. So I kind of stopped doing videos, and I would do them in bunches for a while. I'd do like 3-4 days at a time a couple times. And so, but I don't really like that either. I like the, you know, daily updates. So I'm trying to do my best to keep it on a daily schedule again, and, you know, and try to present, even if it's like a little topic or something. So I don't know why I said all that, but I guess because I haven't talked about that yet. But so yesterday, you know, I posed a question. I was like, well, I don't really have much to talk about, but let me just kind of pose a little question. Because to tell you the truth, I'm kind of stealing. Well, I've done that before for other things. And, you know, it's definitely a suggestion that they say on social media to ask questions. You get more you'll get more like interaction and stuff that helps you get more interaction and whatnot. And plus it's just fun, really. But I saw Kate Middleton. She does it a lot. You know, I think she does it on every video, which is awesome. Like, I totally was like, and it just reminded me, yeah, let, you know, maybe put a question out there from time to time. So I didn't have a topic yesterday. So I was like, well, what I was thinking about, one of the many things is setting goals. And you know, a lot of times we set big goals, but they're kind of not good goals, like basically quality goals, you know. I don't know if quality is the right word for it, but you know, the goals, there's some goals that aren't really good goals, and some that are better, that are more workable, I guess. And so what I did was I asked, you know, let me know some, like, one of your, like, specific goals, not like the whole big goal, like I want to become a rock star or something type of thing, but like, you know, some kind of attainable, you know, specific goal, not a general goal. And so, you know, it's something I've been thinking about. And I also took like this, I guess you'd call it like a free online intro course or something. I don't know. But it's basically this email list I signed up for. And, you know, it's this guy who tries to help you, like, be more productive. And he's basically, he puts out like 5 or 6 or 7 videos within this email list thing about goals. And basically what he's doing with that is promoting his coaching service to help you, you know, be more productive and stuff. So, and to kick procrastination out a little, as much as you can. And, you know, it seems like a pretty cool service and whatnot. And I'm totally down for possibly getting coaching at some point. I think it's very useful and helpful. But for now, I don't have the money. You know, a lot of times these things are like in the hundreds of dollars. You know, sometimes they're like subscription services and all that kind of stuff, and I just don't have that kind of money. So, you know, I take I started doing Evernote or whatever for notes, because the regular Notes app on iPhone is, it's okay, but there's definitely leaves some stuff to be desired. You know, so I started an Evernote thing, and one of the notes that I started was, what did I call it? Some kind of like, ransom note coach. And the idea behind that is like kind of hacking, you know, a lot of these. And I'm not doing it to be malicious. I just think it's a funny thing to to kind of remember it by, but, you know, basically hacking all these different, you know, online marketing gurus and stuff, meaning, you know, they put out a lot of free content and stuff, and what that note purpose is to kind of organize those things into some workable things for me to use, you know, and I would definitely would pay for more further services or further information if I had the cash or whatever, because I think what that they end up doing is putting it in like a more organized way, and they, if it's coaching it, they kind of help you through the process, and I think all that stuff is worthwhile, you know, but I just don't tend to have the money for it or whatever. So, you know, I'm put together my own thing for hacking some of this stuff, and you know, this one person, and I'll put a link, it's called Pillars of Productivity, is I think the site is called that or something, and you know, I'll put a link in the show notes if you are interested in getting more info on it, but basically the free stuff that he gave out I'm kind of going to talk about in this episode, and you know, I think it's pretty interesting. It's definitely something to discuss. I'd love to hear your feedback on what you think. But it's basically a way to kind of keep yourself accountable and all that. So the first thing that he put, he's got, it comes out to like, it's four pillars of productivity. But then, you know, he adds a fifth on in the end. And I think it's kind of interesting. It's definitely something I've talked about. I mean, a lot of these things are things you've already heard. They're obvious, sort of, but you know, the way he puts it is interesting, and I think having it like as a system is helpful. So, you know, the first thing that he says for the first pillar is get specific, basically, and that's what I was talking about with the specific goals, and so, you know, that really helps. Like, there's actually two aspects to goal making, and there's like the big broad goal that is kind of like your overall vision, or there might be a few of them that are big kind of general goals that you want to get to, and it's good to have those, you know, it's like a mark to look forward to, but a lot of times those aren't really very helpful, because it's like, okay, you know, my big goal, and here I'll share like some of my goals are, my main goals right now is, well, one of the things is, and this is just kind of an arbitrary goal, it's not like a huge thing that's going to lead to anything necessarily, but it might, is I want to get published by Image. Just, I'm not saying like all my books or anything, just like, I want like one book to be published by Image just in my lifetime. It's just like a goal because I really believe in what they have done and what they're doing, continuing to do with creator owned stuff and keeping giving. They're like the only company of that size, I guess, that really gives creators their full, you know, reins on their projects. And you know, it's really a good system that I, from what I can see and what I've studied, for helping creators. And a lot of times you might not make a lot of money or anything from it, but it's definitely, I think, a step in the right direction. And I'll be doing that anyways. I mean, there's other companies that do it and stuff, other indie companies that do it, but you know, Image has always been an inspiration to me, so I would really, you know, and I publish my own. I'll still always, you know, publish some of my own stuff, but I think it would be fun to try to get one at least through Image, and maybe more, you know, if it becomes a successful thing, of course, I'll continue trying to do something like that, but I'd like to get one, you know, that's kind of like an arbitrary goal that is fun to try for, you know, type of thing. So there's that, and then, but the big main goal that I have is I want to make a living off of my intellectual properties and music and stuff, but basically that intellectual properties, and that's the big goal that I want to do, you know, if I don't do that in my life, I'll kind of feel like maybe I kind of failed, you know? And I know that sounds really negative, but I think it's good to have a little bit of that kind of pressure, you know? So, yeah, that will be something I'm really shooting for. And then I put another goal in my sketchbook, which was, and this is kind of more along the lines of specific goals and how, part of how I'm going to get to that place where I can make those big goals happen. And this is just a small, very small part. Well, actually, it's a big part. It's almost maybe one of the biggest parts, but at the same time, there's so many other parts to it. But is to finish a sketchbook a month, and just, and it doesn't have to be good drawings or anything, just sketch things, a lot of studies and just crappy drawings, and just really just fill out a bunch of sketchbooks, but do one a month. And I've already started that this month, and I think I'm pretty far behind at this point, but I'm gonna try to make it. Still got a lot of the month left. I think it's like the 9th or something today of August, so. And I've already worked in my sketchbook today a bunch, so I'm going to try to really be hunkering down on that. So, yeah. So, the idea of getting specific is really a helpful one. Like, the example they said in the videos was, you know, don't try to think, so they have, like, for business, you know, somebody's goal might be to get 10 sales this week or something, and he's saying that's kind of not a big, that's not a good goal, you know, because you don't really have any control, that much control over the sales. Like, you are relying on other people to buy stuff, so, like, how do you know if you're going to get 10 sales? You don't really know. But what are the things you need to do to get 10 sales is the question. So maybe it takes, you know, 10 calls before you get a sale, generally, like on an average. So like 10 cold calls. So instead of saying, let me get 10 sales a week, say, okay, what does 10 sales break down to? Okay, 10 times 10 is obviously, you know, 100. So, you know, I have to make 100 cold calls, and that, and maybe I'll make it a little more, 150 or 120. And that should ensure that I get those 10 sales. So that's kind of a good way of breaking it down. You know, did I do, you know, my 20 or 10 or 15 calls for the day that I was supposed to do? And if so, and I still didn't get a sale, that's okay, because I did the calls I was supposed to do. So that's what's important. And I know that the average will eventually lead to the 10 sales that I want. So yeah, that's one way. So for me, like, my big goals, and I haven't even thought about this yet, but that's what I want to do, is start breaking these bigger goals down into smaller action steps, actionable steps. So, you know, one of the ways I can do that is, well, I need to become a much better artist to get to the point where, you know, somebody like Image will actually take me, you know, theoretically. So, to do that, I need to draw a lot more. So, all right, one of the steps that I can do and can achieve and take action on is doing a sketchbook a month. And that's doable, you know. So, I'm not, so if I'm focused on the results, I'll get depressed because it's so big and overwhelming. But if I'm focusing on the actionable steps, those aren't so big and overwhelming, you know, they're possible. So your goals should be more on the steps than on the results. So that was the first pillar, was, you know, get specific about your goals. The second pillar is interesting, and it's become more of a phenomenon lately. Let's see, the Lose It app for weight loss is kind of a good example of that. There's a lot of apps now. There was one that I was using that I'll probably start back up again, called Lift, And, you know, it's basically just checking in every day, and it's like a social thing, like a social media type of way where there's a little bit of accountability. But, you know, I would just clock in, okay, I drew for 10 minutes today or whatever, and every day I'd do it. And if I didn't do it, then it wouldn't be on my calendar. And there's, you know, the app does certain things to keep encouraging you a little bit. And, you know, after a while, if you're just not doing it, they'll just stop bothering you, but they'll bother you a little bit, you know. So measuring, you know, basically the whole idea of, you know, gold stars and stuff, like back in the days, you know, when you were going to school, you know, you'd get these little gold and silver stars for little accomplishments that you did. And it's kind of that thing. It's all, you can almost make it like a game and try to be creative with it. And you're like gathering up points, you know, type of thing. And I think there was even a Habit RPG or something, another app that Jersey and Rob Stenzinger were talking about on their podcast. I looked into that, but it seemed a little confusing. But yeah, there's all kinds of stuff that you can do. So measuring, you know, things kind of encourages you. It can encourage you to keep building towards what you're building and, you know, be a little less overwhelmed and be excited about getting to certain thresholds and stuff. So that's the second pillar, is measurement. And I think I'm going to pause it here. So the third pillar that the guy was talking about is accountability, which is cool too. Like, and there's the whole idea of having like mastermind groups and stuff, just accountability groups. And I actually was thinking about doing this already, is creating something local. I mean, you could do it online too, but I feel like I've kind of done that online thing a little bit, and maybe there's some better ways to do it than I've done it, but I think it's a little bit better maybe if you, and plus you want to connect with people locally anyways, but I think it's probably a good idea to try to do it locally. So I'm really thinking about doing that, and I actually have a whole kind of idea that I plan on talking to some friends about soon. So yeah, accountability. I think it's really helpful, and the way he puts it in the videos is it's like backup for the battle. You need, a lot of times, you know, if you try to do this stuff by yourself, you know, you kind of start off really good and, you know, you're really kicking butt on your goals and stuff, and then all of a sudden, you know, you start to kind of get tired and you get distracted. I know I do. My big thing is focus. You know, I have a hard time with focusing and keeping inspired to do the same thing. You know, I'll go on to something different. So I could really use that accountability where like, and it's going to be the thing I want to do. You know, it'll just be a place where we sit around together, and it's not a drink and draw type of thing. It's more of, let's talk about our business goals, our ideas, what we want to do, or just art goals, you know. And I want to get it, I want to make it like, you know, it'd be nice if it was all kinds of different people, but, you know, I kind of want to do it where it's like artists or creatives, I guess, is a good way to put it. So we'll see. I'm going to try to put that together. But even, you know, with the 100 days of making comics, that's kind of a big part of what that's all about is, you know, Kevin always says, you know, on his videos is, I wanted to do this to be something to keep me accountable, because I know there's people, and he even talks about, he has like a troll or whatever that's always like screwed with him and followed him and stuff like that. And he's like, I know that guy will tell me what's up, even though I don't really like talking to the guy or anything. At least I know he'll be like, oh, look, you said you were going to do this and you didn't do it type of thing. But just, you know, the general accountability too, you know. When you kind of fall off, maybe one of your friends or something will be like, hey, where's your videos? I haven't seen an update in a while type of thing, you know. hopefully you have good friends who will actually do that. I don't know that anybody will do that for me necessarily with the videos, because I did kind of stop doing them for a few days, you know, and I didn't hear anything, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But even if I don't, that's okay. Like, I'm not, like, blaming anybody or anything. It's my fault for falling off if I fall off. But, you know, that's why I kind of want the local thing, where that's kind of the point of us meeting up, is to kind of push each other a little bit to keep doing this. And I do have a friend, you know, Michael Vallad. I always talk about him, you know. I go back and forth with him a lot, you know. And I try to encourage him to keep doing whatever he's doing, and, you know, he'll hit me up and ask how I'm doing and stuff like that. So, you know, it's definitely a cool, it's definitely a good way to keep up with your goals. So accountability, and like I said, it's backup for the battle, because it is kind of a battle. There's a lot of, like I said, in, you know, the War of Art book, you know, there's a lot of resistance that you know, Stephen Pressfield says that, like, everything is resisting you to do what you're supposed to be doing with your art and your music or whatever it is that you do. So, you know, it's good to have somebody else to kind of back you up and help you fight that battle, because doing it all on your own with your own willpower sometimes isn't enough. So, yeah, pretty simple. I mean, these, like I said, these ideas are pretty simple, but when you put them together, I think it's kind of a powerful system to help you really get things accomplished. And I've already put some of these things in my life, but it's good to have that as a system altogether. And so I think I'm going to put these pillars or whatever written in the front of my sketchbook with my goals, and I'll just keep writing them in each sketchbook to keep me reminded about this stuff and never forget it. And hopefully ingrain it to the point where I can just spout them off the top of my head with, you know, without having to look back at my notes, you know. I mean, they're pretty simple. I should be able to anyways. But, you know, another thing is some people are kind of born, well, I'll get into that a little bit later, I guess. I've been finished reading a new book. Well, it's not a new book, it's an old book. It's Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. And you guys may be familiar with it, I'm not sure, but it's kind of where, it's not where it came from, but it's where, it's the book that popularized the whole 10,000 hours thing, you know, where do anything for 10,000 hours and you'll basically become an expert. And the book is not exactly what I expected, but still very interesting and helpful, I think. I'll talk a little more about that at the end of this episode. But I wanted to get to the fourth pillar, which is deadlines. And, you know, setting them for yourself. When you work, you know, with clients and stuff, they'll give you deadlines and stuff. And if you have a job, you know, you have deadlines. And yes, there's like a certain point, because people want to get stuff done for a specific date sometimes, but, you know, it's also a good strategy, you know, to just keep people in line or whatever if you're a boss or something. And if you're working for yourself and you're doing your own projects, it's good too, because, you know, having these projects that are just like these arbitrary goals or ambiguous goals that, like, we want to get to, but we don't have a specific timeline. And you could call it timeline, too, if deadline sounds too strong. But if you don't have, like, a timeline to go by and you don't set that for yourself, you'll never get anything done. You'll just, especially with art, you'll just keep noodling and noodling until, you know, you're making this, like, amazing, beautiful page, but it's not sustainable to keep doing books like that, you know. You'll come to find out that it's just gets overwhelming, you know. So if you have a deadline, it'll make you work faster and maybe leave some of the details out, but sometimes more details isn't good anyways, you know. So having these deadlines to really push you, and a lot of times what people end up doing is they'll use like conventions as their deadlines. You know, oh, I want to get this done for this convention. So that's kind of a cool, convenient way for comic book artists or anybody who has, you know, a creative projects that have a lot of convention type of or event type of things ingrained in it. So it's good to have the deadlines. And, you know, I'm sure there's other ways. I don't necessarily have a lot of strategies for the deadline pillar or whatever, but I'm sure I'll learn eventually how to do that a little better. And it's a good thing. I noticed that, you know, when my first two mini comics and stuff, they wouldn't have gotten done if they didn't have a deadline of the mini comics challenge. Both of them were for two separate mini comics challenges where we had to get something done by a certain time, and then we would all trade them to each other. And, you know, I think on both of them I went a little bit past the deadline, but I came pretty close, I think, on both of them too. I wasn't like months out and I got them, messed them up. And even actually the third one that I'm working on now, that was for a mini comic challenge also. And I only got halfway through, and I kept saying, I'm going to finish it, and then I didn't finish it, and I was like, you know what, screw it. It just kind of faded out. But I still had, like, half a book's worth of pages, so I'm like, I don't know, will I ever get to this? And then I got into stickers, and then I got into toys, and, you know, so it just never happened. And then now I'm like, oh, you know what, I got this convention coming up, and I'm like, actually, you know what, I have half a book done, why don't I just finish it, and then I'll have something new for the convention. And plus, I was getting tired of doing the Traveler's comic, which is a whole another thing in and of itself, but I think I'm, like, actually excited to get back to the Traveler's comic and Resident Aliens now, because, you know, I had this kind of break of doing the Glyph comic, and it's, you know, I've been able to accomplish a lot more because I already had half of it done, and it just was one of those things that really is rejuvenating me back to do the other things I was doing too. So that's a good aspect too, an interesting aspect, and that kind of goes into the fifth thing, which is his, like, he kind of plays it, the guy who does these pillars, as like, this is like the secret one that helps all the other ones and stuff, and it's interesting. But the fifth pillar, and the way he breaks it down is funny, because it's like, he starts it off by talking about rewarding your inner child, and how, you know, it's the inner child is kind of a weird concept, and, you know, you may or may not agree with it, I don't know, but, you know, I think there's something to it. But, you know, he's basically saying, you know, when you grow up, you know, you're as a child, you just like to play, you know, you like to have fun. And as you get older and older, responsibilities come in, and you start to realize that, you know, if you don't take care of responsibilities, then you're going to be screwed, and you're not going to be able to, you know, you're just going to be in a lot of trouble, and you're going to have consequences. So, what it's saying is kind of, if you, basically, the inner child still stays there, though, even though you're not, you know, you're starting to just focus on responsibilities, and if you don't give that inner child or whatever a kind of something to keep its attention, or they, I don't know, the way he explains it is a little bit better, but, you know, if you don't let him loose a little bit, then you're going to find that inner child, quote-unquote, is going to be, like, stealing from your time of productivity, because it's like having a tantrum type of thing, and that's basically a metaphor for procrastination. So, you know, if you're not letting your inner child have some things to deal with, like, you might procrastinate and play video games all day instead of drawing, or you might have, like, all this time to do your art, but you're just not getting anywhere with it because or your music or whatever, because you just find other things to do, you know. I don't know, watch movies or you know, I don't know, even doing housework or something, or like when you set to do something, everything else becomes a distraction. I don't know, like, so even work can be, other kinds of work can be your inner child acting out type of thing. So the, what they say, you know, and basically he says, you know, if you do these four pillars, you're going to become super productive, but you're going to end up sabotaging yourself if you don't work the fifth pillar in as well. Because you'll be so super productive that you'll become a workaholic and you'll kind of lose the joy that you had initially in the projects you wanted to create and the initiatives you wanted to, you know, accomplish. So what you have to do is, the fifth pillar is play. You have to recognize when the stress levels are getting to a point where it's not fun anymore. Recognize where the fun's leaving. Recognize where you're just, it's just becoming overwhelming and too much. And when those times happen, you have to give yourself an allowance to play a little bit, you know, within your passion. So that's kind of what the mini comic thing, you know, for me, it's like going back and forth. As long as the stuff is still related to my goals, but it's kind of going back and forth. And I see this a lot with my sketchbook too, is, you know, if I'm focusing a lot on drawing realistic pictures of people, like profiles, I do a lot of portraits and stuff through the Sketchy app and whatnot. And it's funny, like, if I do too many of those and don't do more imaginative stuff or stuff, you know, other kind of stuff, then I'll start to get bored with that. And then I'll stop drawing for a long time. But if I just switch it up a little bit and, you know, okay, so now I'm going to start doing some imaginative stuff. All right, now I feel interested to go back to the Sketchy app stuff, you know, or whatever, back and forth. Like, that's not what I just only want to draw either. I want to actually do more imaginative stuff, but sometimes I'll do the imagination stuff and then that'll start to become flat, and every time I'm trying to design a character, I'll either be drawing the same thing over or it'll just kind of look stupid and I won't like what I'm doing. And so then, you know, I'll go back to drawing from reference and that'll excite me again. And so you got to kind of give yourself time to play. Another thing for comics is maybe you're working on a big comic project, but like Kevin was doing, like, he is working on his Monkey Mod comic, but he felt like he wasn't finishing anything and things were going too slow, so he started playing around with doing a strip style comic, and that way he could actually finish a strip, you know, and kind of have that back and forth and oscillate back and forth. And I think that's important. I'll do the same thing with art and music. If I'm getting a little too overwhelmed or tired of doing art, I'll go and do a little bit of music, and then I'll come back to the art. And it gives you fresh eyes and things like that to deal with it. Also, getting some sleep helps too. Sometimes we run ourselves too far, and I notice, like, I can't think of anything or figure things out, or I have, like, a really negative output, or I mean negative attitude. And if I recognize that maybe I haven't eaten enough or I haven't slept enough, I'll just say, you know what, let me just go take some time out to have some lunch or dinner. And then you'll come back and you'll feel refreshed and better. Or, you know what, it's just getting too late, I need to just go to bed and try to look at this again in the morning, and I'll feel a lot better in the morning and I'll be able to deal with it, you know. But if I keep trying to push to a certain point, you know, you just got to give yourself some time for rest, but don't let that get out of hand either, you know. So, you know, too much of anything is not good, obviously. So there's that. But, you know, but that's kind of a different thing. But still, you know, you got to find ways to play. And I think with comics, like doing like a little strip comic or something, or a mini comic, or maybe just a little gag or something, or maybe you just want to not do comics, you just want to do a little bit of you know, stuff from reference just to keep the pencil moving, but you don't have to think about it so much type of thing. So you can do that. Or another thing, too, is go enjoy something. Like, if you're a musician, you know, instead of making music all the time, constantly, go to a concert, you know. Go get and consume other people's stuff. And I know a lot of people sometimes are like, well, when I'm creating, I don't want to have those influences, you know, mess with me to the point where I start copying other people's stuff or whatever. And I understand that. And if that's something you don't want to deal with, then fine. You know, you can maybe go watch a movie if you're a comic artist. Then you won't be copying too much, you know. I don't know, you know, find some different media or whatever. But for me, like, I don't take time to actually read comics enough, and that stuff inspires me to do more comics. So, because the thing is it's so hard. Like, comics become work so easily, and you kind of, like, you're like, why am I even doing this? It's just too hard. Like, why would I even do this? And it's not going to make any money and this and that. Well, go and read some comics, and then you'll remember why you're doing it, because you want to make something like this. So that's helped me as well. So find ways to play and try not to go too overboard with it, but, you know, let your inner child do that little playing thing, and then, you know, let them play the way he explains it, you know, let them play to the point where they tire themselves out and they just kind of fall asleep. And then they're not, like, at your, all up in your mind as much, like, screwing with you. So yeah, that's basically it. That's the five pillars, you know, I wanted to go through and talk about. I went through them a little bit quick because I'm sitting in a hot car right now trying to record because I had to stop for a little bit. I've driven to the places I needed to drive, so now I'm at McDonald's, and I want to get a coffee or something, so, and then I have some more errands to run, so, yeah, that's how that goes. But, yeah, so that's basically it, the five pillars. Let's go over them real quick. You know, have the variations in your goals, have your big vision, but get specific is the main thing of the first pillar. You know, get specific about your goals, actionable items, you know. Number two, measurement. Find a fun way to measure your progress. And, you know, don't get too stuck on not making a lot of progress. But at the same time, if you're doing these attainable specific goals and you're, you know, marking your measurement, it can be a fun thing. And maybe some apps can help you with that. Or maybe just marking it down on a calendar. You know, And they talk about that, like Seinfeld would write a few jokes or at least one joke a day or whatever. And even if it was crap, he would mark it down on his calendar and he would look at his calendar and feel accomplished because he wrote a joke a day. And now he's one of the most famous comedians in the world. So, you know, it just goes to show you, just keep plugging away. Accountability, number three, that, you know, find a local group or, you know, some kind of group of people, whether it's like three or four people, or it could even be up to like 20 or 50 people, who knows. But, you know, I think it's good to keep it somewhat small, but find a group where you can be like, all right, we're all gonna like be accountable to each other. And this is my goals. I'm putting it out there. Please, you know, help me stay on track with that, you know? And so that's, you know, one way, and it's good backup for the battle, you know. It's hard enough to do this by yourself with your own willpower. If you have somebody kind of guiding you and helping you along, that's only going to help. So then also deadlines. Don't just, you know, number four, don't let your goals be so vague that they have no timeline, you know. Make specific points when you want to get certain things done. Like, even the small goals, you know, for every month I want to do a sketchbook. So I want to fill up a sketchbook every month. And that's like, that's a little deadline, you know, but I also have another deadline for the comic. I want to get that done so it's ready for BingCon in 2 weeks. I'm getting darn close to it. I only have like 4 or 5 pages left to do, and then I have to go back through them and do some background stuff. Then I have to also do the lettering and formatting of the book and getting it printed, so hopefully I can get that all done in 2 weeks. Plus, I have to print up some more stuff for the con, so it's going to be a little hard, but we're going to do it. I'm hoping to get a lot of that work done today, actually, when I get back. And then last but not least, let your inner child play a little bit when you're starting to get overwhelmed and stressed and pressured to the point of you're starting to procrastinate. Give yourself a little bit of time to play, you know, and tire that little guy out, because we all still want to do what we want to do, you know. We all still, I mean, people look forward to retirement for a reason, because they think, you know, that's going to be the time when they get to finally have fun and stop working on responsibility so much. But in reality, things don't work out that way, but that's a whole different topic. For me, I just want to work till the end of my days, but I want to transition my work from manual labor to something I love to do. And that will be play for me. And it'll be work and play. So I'm trying to figure that out now, so I'll have things to do when I get older. And obviously you want to save up a certain amount to the point where you can't, you know, when you get to the point where you can't do anything, you know, you'll have money to live on. So we'll see how that all works out. Maybe they'll pass a bill and they'll start killing people off at an old age. But that's politics. And I'm just joking around with that. I'm not saying what my stance is on that. I don't even know, honestly, with that issue. But anyways, enough on that. I don't want to get into, like, politics. So that's the five pillars. And the only other thing I wanted to talk about, too, was this book that I've been reading, or that I just finished reading, The Outliers. And it's really interesting. When I first got into it, I'm like, oh, you know what? I started getting really excited about the whole 10,000 hours thing. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make another goal. I want to do 10,000 hours before I'm 45. And I was thinking about doing that goal. And then after finishing reading the book, I'm like, oh, I don't know. So that's kind of on hiatus. I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. But regardless, I'm going to do a sketchbook a week or a month. So I'm kind of doing it anyways. But, you know, what that would be is if I do 3 hours a day from now until this time when I'm 45, that would be 10,000 hours. That's a lot. It's hard to draw for 3 hours a day for me. I just don't have that time generally, but sometimes I think I get close. So we'll see. But on those days I'm really tired, it's hard to even put the pencil to the paper, but that's what the sketchbook thing is for, you know, and hopefully more. Some days I'll do more than 3 hours, some days I'll do less, who knows, I don't know. But the whole point was The Outliers book, you know, it's not really a book about learning how to be successful, actually. It's actually a indictment and against the whole idea of rugged individualism, you know, the American ideal of rugged individualism, and just being an individual who, like, presses forward and creates things. Basically, what it's saying is those people who, like, Michael Jordan or, like, you know, Wayne Gretzky or, you know, not even just sports people, but, like, you know, Steve Jobs and all these people who have, we know, who have done amazing things, they're basically outliers. They're separate from the group. They've pushed forward to a point where it's like they've done amazing accomplishments. And basically the thesis of the book is they're really not any more special than any of us. You know, you get to a certain point of intelligence where more intelligence actually isn't more useful. You know, you can be a genius, but once you've passed a certain intelligence threshold, it's not going to help you if you're more genius than another genius, because it comes more down to other factors like how much have you worked? Are you a lazy genius? Or also, are you put into a situation where you've had a good family, or you have certain circumstances where that genius can be put to work in a way that will be helpful to the world. You may not, you know, you may grow up in a time where, say, you know, you grew up as a Jew during the time, you know, in the 40s when, you know, or when Hitler and all that happened, like, that's not, you know, you could be a genius and you could have tons of skills, but you're not going to be able to put those to use. And, you know, that's kind of a really extreme version of it, but there was, you know, the Great Depression and, you know, different times where those kind of certain things weren't in a place where you could actually put things to use. So, you know, there were times where being an amazing artist, you know, was very highly profitable, but those times changed and now everybody is an artist, you know, and it depends. Like, you know, people like Steve Jobs and stuff, they were born at a certain time where, and they had certain things available to them where, you know, basically somebody was going to do it and they just happened to be the person who was born at the right time and had the right interest to do it. But there was a lot of other people who had those interests, but they didn't have the ability to practice because they didn't have the technology available to them. So the people who did do those kind of things just happened to be born in the right place at the right time and with the right interests. And the reason why that they excel above everybody else is because they had a huge head start, because they just happened to have the technology available to them that not many other people did have available to them. So a lot of things aligned in the right place and the right time for them to become the amazing person that they are. So, and it just goes through all these different examples of these people who we look at as amazing accomplishers of our age. And really, it's not, the fact that they worked hard to get there is only just one small factor in the whole thing of why they became what they were. And he talks a lot about luck, like it really more depends on luck. And for me, I look at it as, you know, the sovereign hand of God, you know, with my religion and or my faith and stuff. So I just believe that God has a hand in how all these things happen to work out, and you know, certain things work, certain things don't, certain people, you know, rise in power and fall in power, and all these things are according, in my opinion, to God's plan. But other people don't believe in God, but they, you know, they say chance and luck and stuff like that. So that's cool. If that's what you believe, that's fine. But that's not the whole point of this, is that there's a lot of other factors. And yes, you can do everything you possibly can to prepare for what you want to do. And that those are like the extreme examples too. That doesn't mean you shouldn't push forward and practice all you possibly can and, you know, get these productivity things going. You should do that. I mean, we do live in a land, I mean, in America and in a lot of places in the world too, but a lot of places don't have certain opportunities we do, unfortunately. But, you know, a lot of us do live in a time in a land where we can make some of our dreams happen. But will we become rock stars? That's more kind of up to chance and how things work out. That a lot of factors that we have no control over, unfortunately, we just don't. You know, but there are factors, the factors we can, you know, control, we can control, and we can become successful in whatever it is we're interested in. We just might not become the superstar of that thing necessarily. A lot of that, the becoming the superstar, we just don't have control over a lot of the aspects. You know, a lot of things have to work together in the right way for somebody to become, you know, a superstar at whatever it is they're doing. And that doesn't bother me because I don't want to be a superstar of what I'm doing. You know, I just want, if I do become a superstar, to me that's a tool just to push forward, you know, and help out, give more and be able to do more of what I want to do, you know, and that kind of thing. Give me a little more freedom to do the things I want to do. But I just want to do what I want to do and enjoy it and hopefully become profitable to the point where I can make a living. That is my goal, and that is a more attainable goal, I think. And, you know, let things work out the way they will if I am to, you know, become a more exceptional example of that. You know, that's cool, but that's not my focus, so... You know, that's about it, really. That's what I wanted to talk about. And, just keep working on those pillars of productivity. You know, maybe you can name them something different if you don't like that name or something. But, I'm going to be focusing on trying to get these goals done and take care of stuff. And I hope you do, too. I hope this was helpful. If you have any ideas or comments on what I'm talking about, or just anything else, even if you have topic ideas that you'd like me to talk about, feel free to comment, let me know wherever you're comfortable doing that. If it's Facebook, Twitter, you know, any of that stuff, on all that stuff. Or if it's through email, marshmakesart@gmail.com is the email. You can email me a question or anything, text, audio, whatever. Picture, video, whatever you want to do, and I'll be happy to respond to it on the podcast or off the podcast, whatever you prefer. And just thank you guys for listening. The subscribers have been growing a little bit here and there, so that's really cool, and been getting some more comments here and there. Thank you everybody who shares this. A lot of people, you know, some of you guys share this. Shout out to Eddie Crosby, actually, because I think he shares every podcast, which is really cool. So thank you very much, man. And I know Michael Waro has always been a big support, so thank you very much, man. You're awesome. Peter Palmiotti, another big supporter of the show and of what I've been doing. And a lot of you guys have been there. Michael Vlad, you know, all you guys. So thank you very much. And I will talk to you on the next episode. And you know where to support. You know where to go. DonkeyJawProjects.com if you're interested in buying anything or just checking out my stuff. And the Patreon is patreon.com/plex if you want to support in that way. Or go to iTunes and leave a rating, star review. I don't think I have any at this point, so anybody who would like to do that, please, I could definitely use that. It helps people see the podcast more. So, anyways, you guys are awesome. Thank you guys for listening, and gals, and I will talk to you on the next Escape Artist podcast. Later.
Background music provided by Mr. Pool. You can find show notes at DonkeyJawProjects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to Patreon.com/Plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.